Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to an episode of Sports Legend, along with my host Macaulay Matthew, and of course, William Ammo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going out there?
I'm good, man. Glad to have you. Glad to have you on the show, bro. And,
no problem.
I'm glad to have all of you all, you know, come back for another episode of Sports Urban Legend. We're going to talk about in this show, we're going to talk about the latest stuff with the Knicks. Knicks officially hiring, Scott Perry as their new GM to replace, Scott Perry joins the Knicks. We're also going to talk about Steve Mills being the team president, the Carmelo Anthony latest with that saga. Will he stay? Will he go? Will he go to Rockets? Will he go to Cavaliers? Will he stay in New York? We'll get into that as well. Where we'll recap the All-Star game, the Home Run Derby with Aaron Judge. Awesome performance, which I'm sure as a Yankee fan, you were very upset about, you know, Aaron Judge's horrible performance. Wink, wink. But, of course, we're also going to recap the week of WWE, highlighted by the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view event, and what we thought happened, and, you know, and hey, you never know. We might talk about other stuff, and equally important, of course, folks, you can give us a call. That's 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to call and share your thoughts on any of these topics and more. And with that, further ado, again, thank you guys and ladies for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. I'm William Ammo. He's Mac Matthew. And you know what? Let's lead off with a little baseball before we get into the NBA news. And congratulations to Aaron Judge, man. I don't mean to judge, but he had a phenomenal performance. Well, he had like 47 home runs altogether,
yeah.
And they were all like massive shots, man. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, it was a great display by Judge. Yeah, like you said, he had 47 home runs. Those home runs covered like 4 miles, with the longest one going about 513 feet. And the hardest one I think he hit was at 119 miles per hour. So he put on a show, as expected. And he went on to win this one. With those home runs. But, yeah, I mean, this guy's going to be a beast to come, man. He's going to scare a lot of teams.
Absolutely, man. So, you know, as a Yankee fan, you know, I know you had so much joy seeing, Aaron Judge win it, and in addition to Gary Sanchez's performance, even knocking off the favorite in one of the favorites, Mike Stanton, being in his hometown. So that, I mean, having two Yankee greats, I mean, a future young guys who could be Yankee greats, I mean, the sky's the limit for a Judge. I mean, this guy is not no Shane Spencer, Kareem Garcia, like, flash in the pan kind of guy. I mean, this guy is legit. I mean, those home runs, he'd even get a good hold of it, but it was enough to go out, man. This guy has legit home run power. I mean,
yeah,
you know, he's
crushing those pitches.
Yeah, again, man, the Yankees, man, they're going to have to retire his number too. I mean, at this rate,
hopefully.
I mean, Yankees are going to have to, at this rate, Yankees are going to have to unretire numbers and then retire them with new players at this rate. Because, this guy.
Well, I just hope that he doesn't go into a slump, because, a lot of times you have these guys enter the Home Run Derby and after the All-Star break, they come back, you know, not hitting very well. So hopefully that doesn't happen to Judge, but you know, so far it looks like you know, he started off the second half going 0 for 8, 0 for 9. So he doesn't have a hit yet after this All-Star break. So hopefully he doesn't go into a slump after this home run derby.
Yeah, that's what I was worried. I was thinking about that myself too. I was worried about that myself too. Because I'm trying to remember who that happened to. Was it Ryan Howard when that happened to? Like, there was some. I think it was Ryan Howard.
A lot of guys. Bobby
Ryan
Abreu.
Howard was like the first. Yeah, I think Ryan Howard was like the first guy that like put my notice on it. Like, guys tiring out after the All-Star break. Bobby Abreu is another one. You know, like they have their, you know, their best, you know, home run performance. You know. In the All-Star game, because obviously they're intentionally trying to hit home runs. But luckily for Judge, you know, he's a natural home run hitter, so he doesn't have to pull the ball for it to go out, you know, as evident as some of the shots that he did.
True.
But needless to say, congratulations, you know, to him, you know, hitting at least 30 home runs you know, as a Yankee, as a rookie, breaking Joe DiMaggio's all-time record for most home runs in a season. And he did it before the halfway mark, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, this guy's the limit. He's going to go through, like, Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris kind of level, as long as he stays healthy.
Potential, you know. He's got to limit the strikeouts. You know, but... He's a slugger, you know. He's gonna try to hit the ball out of the ballpark every time, and you know, I just hope he doesn't have a second half slump here, you know. Hopefully, he can continue, you know, his hitting prowess like he did in the first half.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, with a slugger, you know that the strikeouts come out with it. There's only a very few sluggers who don't strike out a lot when they have that much power. So, I mean, that's expected, you know. You know that guy's going to strike out over at least 100 times this year. But as long as he continues this pace that he's on, you know, the Yankees will live with it. And speaking of the Yankees, they were they lost last night. You know, Chapman didn't have a good game. They lost the game. In Fenway, but tonight, you know, the Yankees rebound. They won in extra innings, in Fenway. Final score 4-1. I think this was like the longest game the Yankees played in Fenway since like maybe 1967. It was definitely in the 60s for sure. But
that's unbelievable because I would have, you know, during the intense rivalry back in the early 2000s, that these guys would have had long inning games. But, yeah, this was the longest inning game in years. You know?
In decades.
Yeah.
Because the Yankees games, man, my goodness, the Yankee-Red Sox games from that rivalry, man, especially, like, from 03 to, like, 05, man, those games, man, they never stop, man. They just keep going on and on and on. Even the Energizer Bunny had to recharge. How long they've been going on?
Yeah.
But Yankees are gonna try to, you know, win this rubber game, you know, tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. You know, with the Yankees shifting gears with the Mets.
Well, actually,
Mets.
It's a 4-game, so the rubber game will actually be maybe Monday, if we end up. Winning or losing.
My mistake. Yeah, I mean the Yankees are gonna try to win this series. Well, it can't be a rubber game because it's a 4-game series, so they can either tie it or
win
know,
it,
take the lead.
Right.
But. Any case, you know, we'll find out what the Yankees and the Red Sox are going to do in this 4-game series. And shifting gears with the Mets. Mets had their only All-Star, Michael Conforto. He had a single. Fortunately, he had a chance in the All-Star game to win the game in the bottom of the ninth, but he struck out with at least a runner in scoring position. I think there was two people on base in the ninth. And then, of course, former Yankee Robinson Cano, don't you know, he homered. So basically, as a result, the AL All-Stars win again for the fifth straight year. But thank God, this year it doesn't count because that stupid rule about having the game, the exhibition game, which, I mean, I love the All-Star game, don't get me wrong, but exhibition game should not determine who wins home field advantage. The best record should determine who wins home field advantage. So I'm glad they finally got rid of that rule. And needless to say, the AL All-Stars show their dominance yet again. And, basically they win again. And, the Mets, after that, they've played their first couple of games at home against the Rockies. And, man, they've been smashing the ball after Sandy Alderson, the Mets GM, was saying that if they don't play well, he's going to be as of right now, they're in seller's mode. They're going to sell the people who's going to be on their walk here. For example, Jay Bruce, most likely Addison Reed, Asdrubal Cabrera, those type of people. They would have to keep playing well in order for them to not trade those guys. And as a result, these first two games, the Mets have been blowing out the Rockies, man. I mean, the first game was like, 12-3? And tonight, the Mets won, I think, 9-3. Jose Reyes homered. Bruce hit a 3-run home run. Reyes. And even Seth Lugo, the pitcher, went deep. And it wasn't like a lucky hit, man. He really got all of that ball. Like he should have been. That swing, he should have been the home run derby with that swing. And he hit his first career home run. So he joins Jacob DeGrom as the two Met pitchers to hit their first major league home run this year. So congratulations to Seth Lugo. He had a brilliant start, And the bullpen for the most part pitched well. And the Mets are going to try to keep this streak going. Not to mention, not to be remiss, Jacob DeGrom, who the Astros, among many other teams, are rumored to trying to get Mets to deal. But Mets are saying no thanks, rightfully so. He had a brilliant performance. He went 8 innings. He struck out 11. This was like his second 11 strikeout game of the season. So, congratulations to Jacob DeGrom. Even though he wasn't an All-Star, he won his 10th win of the year because apparently they did the voting when Jacob DeGrom was, still in a slump. But nevertheless, Jacob DeGrom won his 6th consecutive start. So congratulations to him. And, the Mets are going to try to sweep the series at home against Colorado. But I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I mean, yeah, they have like 74 games left. I think they're like eight games behind in the second wild card or something like that. But
you never know. Remember last year.
Oh yeah, I remember last year because they were out of it too, and they came back. But they're gonna have to be perfect. And them making to the playoffs for the second time, I think in franchise history that they went back to back years. If they by another miracle get to the playoffs again, they would set a franchise record for 3 consecutive playoff berths. If they can make it, man, that's another miracle within itself. They're going to have to continue to play over their heads right now and play to their potential. And it's worth noting Cespedes injured himself again. So hopefully it's not that serious. when he wanted when he dived for a ball. So I mean, it seemed like it's not too serious because he did the interview. You know, he did the post game. But hopefully that doesn't linger. So Mets are gonna have to play over their heads before the end of the month, so that they won't be sellers. But we'll see what happens. It's also worth noting down in the minor leagues, Ahmed Rosario, the shortstop, he's playing well. Dominique Brown, he's playing well in AAA as well. And Tim Tebow, he's actually hitting the ball way down in, I think he's in high single A or something like that. So, you know, he's doing well. So far, so good for him. So you never know, he might make the club next year, sometime next year. Definitely not this year. I mean, he's starting to play well, but I think it's too little too late for him to try to even
get a September
call-up.
What are his numbers,
call-up.
What are his numbers, do you know? If he's, like, really killing it down there?
Ever since he got called up, he's hitting really well. I think it might even be, what, 329 or something like that. Like, yeah, I think he has at least
really?
Two walk-off home runs.
Wow.
He hit a walk-off home run, like, I think just Friday night, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
So he's actually playing well, but even Alderson, who makes the decision, the GM, he doesn't think he's getting called up, you know, for a September call-up. So, if Tebow actually does turn out to be, which would be a miracle within itself, akin to his Denver Bronco days, I don't see it happening, especially this year.
Yeah. Well,
but
maybe
congrats
next year.
To him. Yeah, I think it'll happen next year if he continues to produce. But shifting gears, let's talk about the Knicks, man. You know, congratulations to them. They hired Scott Perry after David Griffin turned them down because he wasn't going to have final say on the talent, you know, even though he did win a title with the Warriors. And even despite that fact, apparently Dolan and Steve Mills wasn't going to give him final say. He still would have had to report it to Mills. So as a result,
yep.
He turned down he turned down the offer, and as a result, it was handed to Scott Perry. And from all reports, it sounds like a good move, a basketball guy. You know, he was a member of the front office of the Pistons when they shocked the world and defeated the Lakers in 2004. He was also part of the Seattle Supersonic organization for that final year when they drafted Kevin Durant, who won the title with the Warriors this year. In addition, he just recently was part of the Sacramento Kings organization, where they had a awesome, you know, free agency, Vince Carter was one of the signings that they had, but as a result, Scott Perry is going to finally get his dream and be a GM for the Knicks. This would be his first GM job. But the question is, will Dolan keep his word and say that, he's going to step aside and let Mills and Perry, you know, run this team? And we'll see what happens. You know, hopefully he'll give him a shot like he gave Phil Jackson a shot. You know, obviously it failed. Phil Jackson's, time with the Knicks failed horribly. We'll see what happened with Scott Perry. Hopefully he'll get a fair shake to run this team. And hopefully Mills won't be trying to sabotage him. We'll see what happens.
Well, I think it's a good signing on paper, you know. Since I'm surprised that the Kings even let him talk with the Knicks after the Kings just signed him to a contract last year to be there.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the vice the vice general manager over there.
I believe the Kings.
I think.
Yeah.
So,
and another thing,
as
compensation, the Knicks had to give cash and a future second round pick. If my memory serves me right, I think it's a 2019 second round pick. If my memory serves me right, and cash.
Mm.
And, to the Kings as compensation. But yeah, a guy who has a resume like that, even though he's never been a GM, kind of surprising and alarming that they let him, let him get that opportunity. Unless he's really good friends with the Kings GM, and the guy wanted him to get his dream opportunity, and he let him go. But I don't know.
Right.
We'll see what happens. And as a result, he signed a 5-year deal with the Knicks, similar to what Phil Jackson signed. I'm pretty sure it's not the same amount, probably. But now the Knicks, they're going to try to trade Melo. But now recently they were backing after they signed Perry as the GM, then they were thinking about trying to change their mind about keeping Melo, but now it looks like Melo has his mind set, being traded to Rockets. And, try to get that ring, because obviously he's not going to win it in New York.
Right.
So now it looks like he wants to go through with the trade. And right now it looks like they're going to resume the trade, this 3- or 4-team trade, because apparently Rockets or the Knicks, at the end of this deal, they want to get rid of Ryan Anderson's contract, So we'll see what happens. In addition, the Knicks signed Ron Baker to a 2-year, almost a $9 million contract. And don't get me wrong, I liked Ron Baker as a player. He had, to my knowledge, he had at least one good game as a Knick. But they seriously overpaid for him to return. In addition, I like Tim Hardaway as a player. Seemed like a nice guy when he was, with the Knicks. Not to mention he had his best career year with the Hawks. But the Knicks, they severely overpaid for him as well. So hopefully Tim Hardaway can live up to his potential. And these young guys can develop into a decent nucleus. And maybe go on a playoff run in a couple of years or so. What's your thoughts
Hopefully,
on this whole
because,
stuff going on?
Well, I mean the contract that they gave Hardaway and Baker is absurd. They paid those guys like they're superstars. I mean, Hardaway, he had a good year last year, but I mean, last year was the first time he averaged over 14, 15 points, and. Baker is last year was his rookie year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. Unless if he bounced around, like developmental stuff. But yeah, I think this year was his first year as playing really.
Yeah, and
like
they
year.
Paid him they gave him money that probably should have went to Rajon Rondo,
Yeah, absolutely.
Make no
he
sense.
He signed with the Pelicans.
Yeah.
In the words of Tony Montana, come on, Pelicans.
Yeah.
Anyway, congratulations to Rondo. I mean, yeah, that's the guy who they should have gave that money to, for real. I mean, I like Ron Baker. I'm pretty sure you could have re-signed him for $1 million. You know what I'm saying? If not, then, you could just say bye Felicia to him, if he don't want to come back.
Yeah, Knicks don't know what they're doing, man. They're stupid.
They severely overpaid. It's not even funny. I mean, both Hardaway Jr. and Ron Baker seem like nice guys. They hustle, but that money, man, they severely overpaid for those guys. No doubt about
that.
But
then again, the Knicks have been overpaying for players for the last 15 years.
Absolutely, absolutely, and If you don't believe me, ask Joakim Noah.
Mm-hmm.
They also gave him a $72 million contract last year. So apparently don't look like they learned from their mistake. But we'll see what happens. Shifting gears, let's talk about the Great Balls of Fire. Neville won against Tozawa. Not really surprising, except for the Titus O'Neil. Now Titus O'Neil is a good guy. Manager all of a sudden. And I thought for sure Neville was going to lose the title to Austin Aries these past pay-per-view events, but now, unfortunately, Austin Aries and WWE parted away, so that's never going to happen. So,
yeah, it sucks.
As
a
result,
he was good.
Yeah, he was good. Former, TNA champion, you know. He was a great wrestler. I think they underutilized him, in the Cruiserweight division. They didn't even let him win the title, the Cruiserweight title. I mean, it was just a joke. They really wasted him. And I think the Cruiserweight title would have been a much better. If it was on SmackDown, I think the Cruiserweight title would have reached its potential. The Cruiserweight title,
yeah.
I mean, it's like the Cruiserweight, other than the title matches, all the other stuff is like, just who's going to do the most high-flying moves and who's going to date Alicia Fox after they win the match. That's basically what all the matches are about, man.
Uh-huh.
Rick Swan, Noam Dar with Alicia Fox and Cedric Alexander. They're all fighting over her. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, she's fine. I get the reason, but, I mean, come on. They're not even going after the title. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, I mean, Neville won, which was expected. Moving to Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins. I think we both thought Seth Rollins was going to win. I was hoping and praying that Bray Wyatt would actually win a match because Bray Wyatt needs to win more than Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is not working as a good guy. I mean, he's still on this apology tour of, yeah, I used to be a lap dog for the authority. I hope you guys will forgive me. I mean, he's going to be doing this his whole face run. I mean, okay, we get it, dude. I mean, he really lost the hit, turning back into a good guy. So luckily, I'm glad Bray Wyatt beat him, I think, at the pay-per-view event and at Raw. So that was great. Hopefully, Bray Wyatt will amount to some, they'll use him better, even though, the title's not going to fall off of Brock Lesnar's hands anytime soon. But we'll get into that in a minute or two. So Bray Wyatt wins that. Big Cass defeats Enzo, as I suspected, even though I was rooting for Enzo. It was a squash match. Cesaro and Sheamus defended the title in a, they won by the decision 4-3 in the Iron Man match to retain the Raw tag team titles. Everything basically happened as I thought. The Hardy Boys would get come close, but Cesaro and Sheamus would continue the retaining the title and eventually lead to the Hardy Boys breakup and Matt Hardy being broken or shattered, whatever they want to call it, and Jeff Hardy goes on his solo career eventually in the near future. So nothing happened with that one. What's your thoughts on it?
I thought Hardy Boys were gonna find a way to win that match, but I guess I was wrong, but yeah, I mean, right now it looks like they're going to split up and you might get to see the TNA versions of Jeff and Matt Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Delete.
And, yep. Yeah, I'm guessing Matt Hardy is going to call himself Shattered instead of Broken because I think they're still in a battle for the rights for the Broken gimmick. Great match. Sheamus, got the quick pinfall with the broke kick out of nowhere. It was a great match. First ever Iron Man match. It was a very great match. Another thing, Sasha Banks defeated Alexa Bliss, but unfortunately by count out. So as a result, Bliss is still the women's champion. Not surprised by this at all. I think I picked Bliss to win that match. Maybe even by disqualification or countout. I don't recall, but yeah, I'm pretty sure Alexa Bliss was gonna win. So nothing surprising with that one. And The Miz defeated Dean Ambrose to retain the Intercontinental title, as we called it, the Miz Taraz, you know, which has, you know, Bo Dallas and
Curtis Axel,
you know, and Marius as his manager. They interfered, as always, and Miz retains it, not a surprise. And, yeah, I wonder what's going to happen to Dean Ambrose not feuding for this title. I mean, Dean Ambrose is like in, you know what I'm saying, like, they're not using Dean Ambrose. It's like, you know, they don't know what to do with Dean Ambrose. It's like Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose are like, you know, they don't know what they're doing with those guys. They're just floating around the title stuff, but they're not going to win the title. And you could see that they're hinting at them teaming up, but now that Roman Reigns looks like he's going to be a heel, even though he kind of reverted back to his tweener persona in Roman Reigns, the Shield, it's too early for a Shield reunion right now. So I don't know what your thoughts on that.
I would love to see them reunite.
I would love to see that too, but I think it's too early, especially with Roman Reigns, destroying Braun Strowman, which, you know, we're going to get into that right now. Braun Strowman defeated Roman Reigns in the ambulance match after Roman Reigns tried to spear Braun Strowman and run straight into the ambulance like a cartoon character. And as a result, Braun Strowman closed the door and won. And afterwards, a few seconds later, Roman Reigns spears him after the door opens up. And then Roman Reigns shockingly almost committed vehicle homicide on Braun Strowman. And it looks like, according to the pay-per-view event, it looks like it's a heel turn, very similar to the WrestleMania 13 match between Stone Cold and Bret Hart at the submission match. The ultimate submission match. But after Raw, looks like Roman Reigns is back to his regular self. He's supposedly a good guy, but fans hate him. So don't know if I assume he's still a heel after what he did on Sunday night. Yeah. So it looks like he's still a tweener. WWE don't want to pull the trigger on it, even though Sunday night's pay-per-view was a perfect time after he did the unthinkable, trying to run over Braun Strowman. Because, you know, as you all know, Braun Strowman isn't finished with him yet, as, you know, Strowman always says. But Strowman wins. He gets out of, they use the ambulance used the drugs of life to get him out of there. And Braun Strowman, heroically avoided medical attention and tried to walk on his own power. Then, let me see what else happened. Then, of course, Heath Slater won a match against, I'm trying to remember his name. Same day guy
Kurt
again.
Hawkins.
Kurt Hawkins, right. Kurt Hawkins. But they didn't show it because they were showing, what was going on, with the aftermath of Braun Strowman's almost getting, crushed to death by the ambulance. And as a result, then, of course, you got the Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe. As I suspected, Brock Lesnar would retain the title against Samoa Joe. It was a great match, lived up to the hype. The only thing that surprised me is that Samoa Joe got defeated with one F5 instead of like two or three.
You said that was a great match?
I thought it was pretty good.
It only lasted
good.
6 minutes.
Wow, it was really 6 minutes? Wow.
It only lasted 6 minutes, man.
It seemed like 10. It seemed like 10 or 15 to me.
Nah, that was too short of a match.
Yeah, I agree with that because he only got F5 once for the victory. That surprised me. I thought that he was gonna hit the F5 at least two or three times. At the very minimum, twice. Wow, that really went six minutes. So that was kind of like that was similar to the Goldberg Brock Lesnar match of at WrestleMania when he hit a
yeah,
bunch
pretty
of,
much all of Lesnar's matches
super.
Has been pretty short lately.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, I really didn't even realize it was that short. It really stuck out to me that he only hit one F5 and he got put away that easily. But then that was like a fast-paced match to me. I mean,
yeah, that was ridiculous.
Wow.
I thought it was disappointing, but
mm-hmm.
I had a feeling Lesnar would somehow retain the title.
Oh, yeah, of course. Wow. I really didn't realize it was that short. I mean, it did surprise me that he got, like I said, it did surprise me that he got defeated in by one F5. I thought he was going to hit an early F5 in the beginning of the match, and then afterwards, you know, towards the end of the match, he's going to hit it two or three times. But, yeah, another thing that was stood out to me was Samoa Joe attacking him, you know, during the introductions and, you know, hit the Uranagi, you know, a.k.a. the rock bottom of the bookend through the table. That was a cool spot.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really went, wow, it was really that short.
Yeah, but, I think it was the third shortest match of the night.
What was the other short matches off the top of my head? I mean, obviously, the Heath Slater one was obviously the shortest. They didn't even televise the ending. Not that anybody cared.
Yeah, that one's like 2 minutes, and then the Big Cass Enzo match was around like 5 minutes.
Oh yeah,
so.
Yeah, right. That was a squash match, right? Yeah, that one could have went longer. So it looks like SummerSlam's is gonna be like a. As of right now, Raw they're gonna have Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe to determine who's the number one contender at SummerSlam against Brock Lesnar. Right now, it looks like to me is that it's going to be a triple threat. Like, Brock Lesnar's going to interfere in the match, and it's going to turn into a triple threat at SummerSlam.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Yeah, and then I think it's just going to be a bunch of rematches. You're going to have that rematch. You're going to have the Big Cass versus Enzo rematch. You know, I'm just drawing a blank right now, but there's gonna be a bunch of rematches for sure.
Yeah, I think this pay-per-view is setting up SummerSlam, and
yeah, absolutely.
You got Cena back now, so maybe even have Cena involved somehow in some of these matches.
Possible, you know, since after the Battleground pay-per-view event's gonna come soon. Then they're going to focus
solely on... Because he's a free agent, isn't he?
Yeah, he is a free agent. You know, because he's John Cena, he could do whatever he wants. He could just go on whatever anybody show. You know.
Yep.
For no rhyme or reason. But, that's basically it. After Battleground, it's going to be they're going to focus solely on SummerSlam and hyping up these events, man. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to SummerSlam. You know, like I said, I think this Great Balls of Fire setting up a lot of rematches for SummerSlam. I think one of these heavyweight matches, whether it's for the Universal Championship or the WWE Championship, they're gonna find a way to incorporate Cena in one of them somehow, somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say the WWE title, maybe, possibly.
Yeah, that's what I have a feeling, yeah.
Most definitely. So, you know, I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show, as always.
Thank you, man, and I have a big announcement next week on your show.
Sure. I look forward to they're hearing that announcement, man, and I'm sure the folks are going to listen, look forward to hearing that. So I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Sports of a Legend with Mac, Macaulay Matthew, and, of course, me, Wayne Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.